Subcommittee, and what we're doing is we'll have a public hearing portion, and this is on House Bill 5002 relative to the Department of Administrative Services. And yesterday we had the privilege of having Ms. Paula Burgess from the governor's staff and office come and discuss some of the issues relative to some particular items, and then we'd ask her for just a little more information. And Ms. Burgess, if you'd like to come forward, we'd like to just have a report from you, if you would, please. And thank you for coming back today. Apologize to keep you going back and forth, and we'll not bother any further.
Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee, thank you. My name is Paula Burgess, Governor's Assistant for Natural Resources, and Teresa Hugh with the Department of Administrative Services is also here. I think jointly we can answer your question. Your question, as I recall, dealt directly with how many positions does the state have in Washington, D.C. To provide a liaison to the federal administration and Congress. And I will speak to the natural resource side of that question. We have one position in all of the 14 natural resource agencies, and all of the agencies use that person as a liaison to to those federal agencies in Congress. In addition, as you're probably aware, there are times that directors or others in those agencies go to Washington, D.C. to address specific issues, but we have just one person, and I would ask Teresa to speak to the rest of us.
Okay, excuse me, let me just, and that one person, is that Kevin Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Teresa McHugh from Department of Administrative Services. While we don't have any scientific way since yesterday to go through every single budget, what we did was go through with the analysts and their knowledge and contacting agencies. Two other agencies have someone located working directly out of Washington, D.C. That's the Department of Higher Education, the Oregon University System, and the Department of Human Resources. In addition, the Department of Education has a position that is located at least part of the time in Washington, D.C., and we're trying to get through how much of it was contract, et cetera. The Department of Transportation has two positions that follow very closely federal legislation, although they are stationed here in the state of Oregon, but spend a significant amount of time in Washington, D.C. Beyond that, other agencies do not tend to have their own person located there, but work through these other folks. For example, the Housing Department works with the Department of Human Resources and uses their contact in Washington, D.C. So there could be other agencies that use some of their professional services line item to do some contract work there. We would have to go into kind of a more intense search with folks to determine that. So I would not say that that's everything, but tends to flow around those big agencies that have a lot of federal money coming in that have an actual individual or a significant amount that's designated that way. And they are all also, like Paula mentioned, directors of agencies that rely on federal money do tend to spend a significant amount of time in Washington, D.C.
And the Oregon University systems do receive a lot of financial funding through the federal system. And Department of Education, let's see, I know the Department of Revenue has offices. I think they've closed down other offices, but they still have offices in Chicago. Do we have an office space that Mr. Smith occupies?
Mr. Chair, yes, we do. I believe it's in the Hall of the State.
Okay. And we pay rent for the Hall of the State, then. Okay. When other folks go back, whether they represent the Oregon University System or Department of Human Resources, as those folks are back there, well, I guess those are two that have permanent. Are they also in the Hall of the States?
Mr. Chair, we were unable to find out since yesterday where they're located, but we're taking it as an opportunity to look at, are there any opportunities to do some joint work that may not be done, if you know.
Burgess?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Kevin Smith the natural resource individual in D.C. Shares an office with the DHR individual. So those two are co-located. I wasn't even aware that there was somebody on higher ed back there, so I couldn't speak to that. But they're not a part of that office as far as I know.
So those two share an office within the Oregon University systems, and then as we send back other folks from the Department of Education who's back there part-time, plus the contract, plus the two that are here that travel back and forth, when they're there, we don't know where they office at when they are there on a regular basis.
Mr. Chair, what we were told again without getting all the details, that in most of the cases when people go back and they aren't there in terms of a real office space, they will just take a laptop computer and they will be in the office, the federal office, the equivalent, and kind of just find places to set up my offices rather than have
come and go then.
But,
okay.
But we will be looking further into whether there's opportunities there.
And the other contracting was something else that we talked about. That
those are people that are already there.
If we have folks that are contracting for a myriad of other agencies that might be on rather substantial dollar amounts of contracts, if we could find some true Oregonians that wanted to go back and perhaps co-locate the offices so that they could do multiple functions, and I don't know, maybe it's unrealistic to think that they would have someone may be able to do work both at the Department of Human Resources, or I guess that's another agency that's already covered, but maybe the person who does the Department of Transportation could not do some of the same work that's done for us by the persons that we contract or send back or whatever. I think the Department of Transportation said that they contract or do they send back? I can't remember what they told us they did. I thought they had an office back there or a person. But anyway, I guess it may be unrealistic to expect that transportation and another one, some national agency, would get health covered, but revenue, Department of Revenue. It may be unrealistic that Department of Transportation, Department of Revenue, that if you have a half-time contractor in each of those places, maybe there wouldn't be such a person that could do the work and have the contact that those have. Senator Schultz, I think.
My understanding, at least as far as the lobbying that's done or the representation that's done for higher education, is that more than the state system having business there, it's the individual education institutions that do, and they do a lot of lobbying. Most of the lobbying or the interest they represent takes a great deal of concentrated expertise in a particular area, and you need to know the key players in that area, know which levers to hit when you want things and so forth. And somebody who's just a generalist, and especially who comes not out of that environment but out of this environment, I think would not be very effective. You've got to have somebody who has the know-how.
Representative Hanson. The year I was president of AOC, and for our legislative convention in Washington, I asked the AOC staff to try and pull together as many different Oregon governmental lobbyists that were in Washington to meet with us. We had a half day, that was a relatively light day. Anyway, we sponsored a breakfast to try and I think it's incredibly important that we try and coordinate, because it's not just the state of Oregon people, but the city of Portland has lobbying, I'm sure there's various higher ed institutions. There's a whole other range of kind of Oregon-based lobbying organizations, the OMC Counties Association, which is a very well-funded, significant operation. Kevin spoke to our group, and he was probably the most confident well, not the most competent, because there were a lot of competent people there, but that coordination is incredibly important. The other thing that Senator Petrone is mentioning, this is real complicated stuff. It's not only complicated subjects, but knowing the people, knowing the various legislators that are heavily bought in on a particular subject, that have staff expertise, coordinating the staff expertise of the representatives and the senators with the committees, and then the federal executive branches, is something that any time you shortchange that, there's only going to be one result, and that's going to be less effective federal legislation that's not going to match up with what we want accomplished in Oregon, or in terms of the funding things, a loss of federal dollars coming into Oregon, which is already, what, 48, 49th on the per capita list. We can be a lot more effective in terms of how we're using the resources that are back there. But shortchanging the resources that we've got is just cutting eyes and hand tools.
Dave, let me make sure I understand, Representative Hansen, even with all of this group of people plus the contracts we have back there, we're only receiving 48th or 49th of the 50 states of our share of the monies from Washington?
Mostly because we get very little defense spending. And part of that, I think, is by design. When you take, you get almost, other than probably a little bit of money that comes to Oregon National Guard that goes off all states, and a little bit of military expenditures around the Portland Airport, we're just about zero. You know, we don't have a big military base. And I think that really disproportionately pulls our share down. When you take the defense spending at zero, and that moves us right down.
You know what it is without defense being thrown into the package, where we may fit into that line.
A lot of the other funding is based on populations, and you know, we're just not a heavily populated state.
We did somewhat better when we had a real senior senator.
Well, and I guess part of that would be important to if we were to look at what other states do, recognizing we've got a West Coast state and the Washington D.C. is on the East Coast. It would be interesting to know what perhaps Colorado, which is similar in size to the state of Oregon, both in terms of square miles as well as population. It might be interesting to find out what they spend. And Teresa, I'm going to be spending the next 18 months back and forth between Salem. I'll be here. So if you'll gather as much information about that, and I'm not after necessarily going back and trying to root out all of the agencies and saying, by golly, we shouldn't have anybody outside of the state of Oregon. I'm just saying that if they are back there and there's a way where we can get a family group rate, then we ought to try and accomplish that.
Happy to do that.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Ms. Bridges. We appreciate you being here. I appreciate your coming down and representing the government's office. Thank you very much. Was there a question, Senator Crayola?
Thank you, Chair Butler. The question actually, I have a comment and an observation. I agree with Representative Hansen's comments, but I had to ask for a clarification. When he said a real senior senator, did he mean a real senior senator or a real senior senator?
Actually, I think both of them.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. And Mr. Chairman, I have a 2 o'clock transportation work session. And I see that we're in sub up to sub, so we can't for work session now.
We'll need to go ahead and go into a work session at this time while we do have you here, and then
keep electricians outside the door.
I think we need a house number. Oh, we have three houses. I'm counting you.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and open the work session on 5:02. And then if you need to leave for a brief time, we're going to go ahead and spend some time on this package, so please go ahead. Thank you very much. We'll turn the time then to Georgine, Ms. Bailey, and
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. You have received today a packet that's all stapled together about five or six pages. On what has happened, there has been some revisions to the recommendations. We have gone through most of the recommendations and gotten down to a subheading called miscellaneous. But there have been some things brought to our attention, and we have made some revisions. Essentially, what those revisions do is remove the 4% reduction from general fund money from policy packages that were deleted in total. In other words, Governor's Natural Resource Office, we recommend deleting two policy packages in total, $983,000 and $224,000. But in recommendation number one, we had taken a 4% reduction of the general fund in applying a 4% reduction. So we took more than the total amount that was there to take. What we're doing is just taking the total package and nothing extra.
I told you we were going to get to over 4%. Just because we got caught.
The second policy was what we're doing. And it affected a number of recommendations is to take the entire Office of Health Plan Policy and Research in the amount that was in the governor's budget out one time and have that entire discussion, including whether any deductions are made from that office and what deductions are made from that office, including the technical adjustments, will all take place in one spot instead of making some reductions here and then sending some less than the governor's recommended amount over for the health plan policy people to talk about. What that did is change the, I believe it reduced the general fund deduction that we had taken against health policy, and number two, it reduced, we deleted the reduction of the other funds. In the technical adjustments, we just deleted the recommendation about the correcting the essential packages.
Does that staff stay in place, or are they all eliminated?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cho, it doesn't eliminate the staff. It doesn't really do anything except transfer the place on the legislative Ways and Means Committee where the discussion about that office will take place. Any decisions about what reduced or changed or positions going away, if any, will be held in that subcommittee.
Representative Lewis is recommending.
Mr. Chair, if I could explain that, there's a desire by leadership to have all of the health plan expenses, including Mr. State's office, all discussed at one time in one place in the human resource side. And we aren't actually physically moving Mr. State's office. It will still be part of DAS's operation when things are all said and done. But we wanted the human resource sub to look at everything that has to do with the Oregon Health Plan, and so we're asking them to look at it as part of their discussions when they get to the Oregon.
I'm thinking as an office of 19 people, and that will be discussed for the whole the way the budget was unfolding here, it looks like there's going to be a cut of 4 or 5 people in that office if the money was taken away from us. We're not assuming that's going to happen if it goes someplace else.
We're not assuming that each sub has targets to reach on reductions and that the human resource sub will look at that whole, their whole area and look at the entire Oregon Health Plan.
The third explanation of a revision is we added an additional budget note that reflected the testimony that Representative Hill gave about integrating financial accounting budgets and human resource systems. So with that overview, if you want to turn to the next page, Mr. Chair, members, if it's okay, I'll just go through the specific numbers of the recommendation. Number one, we decreased the general fund by $243,500. Number two, we decreased the other funds expenditure limitation by $7,273,070. Those two recommendations are both to reflect the 4% reduction. Number three approved the reduction. There was no change in number three. of $2,410,255 in death assessments. Of that amount, $2,326,199 is a direct reduction of DAS's assessments. And we typically say about 30% of that is general fund at $697,860. Direct reduction assessments of DAS assessments. And that's 10% of DAS's general fund. If you add that amount to the $243,000 in number one, that is actual general fund dollars, the total reduction of the general fund in the DAS total budget is 14.8%.
Have we had a chance to talk to DAS about whether, did you negotiate that with them so they're comfortable with that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trove, we did. We had discussions, and these are the numbers and the places that DAS said they could best absorb that reduction. Part of that, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, are the reductions that are included in number two, that the part of the reductions in number two that directly affect the assessment. Number four, there was no change. That's simply a recommendation to reduce one package, the Internet electronic commerce. Number five, there was no change. That's reducing package 164 until we see what happens to the Senate bill that authorizes that. On the next page, Mr. Chair, members, number six, these are all technical adjustments, A through G. The first one, add $55,080 to various divisions to take care of the revised charges that the state treasurer has made for their debt management service. B, no change, add $143 to the internal support division of mayor and calculating the budget. Number C, this is a revision of a package that DAS brought to us. It eliminates the need for the two positions in the $150,748 funds, but the revision is a shift. It decreases services and supplies by $39,606 and increases personal services by the same amount. That's a reclass package and a realignment of their operations to take care of their workload needs. The increased expenditure limitation for TAB, again, if you remember, this is a limitation that they got in the current biennium, 97-99, and they have not moved forward as quickly as they expected. They've only spent $30,000. This is the remainder of that limitation that the emergency board authorized them. E is an addition to of lottery funds to package 124 so the revenues and expenditures match. We later talk about removing the direct allocation for a lottery, and so we need to remove both expenditure and revenue equal to the same amount before we remove it. That is package 140. Again, this is a reclassification on the increase in personal services of $7,152 and reduction in services and supplies. G is a base budget revenue. It should have been reduced in the preparation of the budget by $5.8 million when they created packages 153, 154, and 155 for video and online services. Number seven is package 295. Again, this is one that is dependent upon passage of Senate Bill 118. And so I'm recommending that you delete the lottery funds here. And when Senate Bill 118 passes, we can put that allocation limitation back in that bill.
Mr. Chair, if I'm understanding that, somehow or other lottery funds for gambling addiction will be there someplace. Is that true?
Would you like to explain that, Virginia?
Mr. Chair, Senator Destro, Senate Bill 118 allocates after certain required deductions, mm-hmm. allocates 1% of the remainder to gambling addiction, and this is the percentage limitation for that. So if that bill passes, then that money will be there.
Okay. The bill has to pass. So. Is the bill moving, or is it locked up?
I should have checked on that. I'm not sure. I'll have to let you know, Senator.
not what it means.
I haven't. We used to kind of flag those folks. Yeah. We used to kind of flag those that are here at the time of work discussion.
Moving on to other actions to meet legislative goals, number 8 revised the funding source for the Gulf Geographic Information System. This is the $1.2 million Mari fund that is not going to be directly allocated to the Department of Administrative Services. However, the money will likely be allocated to natural resource agencies so they can purchase the services from the Department of Administrative Services.
So the funding will get there eventually to buy services from other agencies. Is that it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Schultz, I believe that is the plan.
That is in fact the plan that we're removing the lottery funds, and the agencies themselves will come and buy from their various agencies the services, the $1.2 million, and they'll be bought back from the Department of Administrative Services, and that's how that will be taken care of.
And that's going to be in somebody's budget, so there's some assurance that will happen.
Assuming that they buy the services, that we're, I think one of the things that we've encouraged them to do, one of the budget modes is to go ahead and encourage the, that's in another agency that we passed out that relative to the Department of Revenue, and that is to try and coordinate those services to the Department of Administrative Services absolutely as much as possible for all users. So we certainly will encourage that. There's really no reason for natural resources or anyone else to be buying GIS services from anyone other than the Department of Administrative Services.
I have to anticipate all the money that they're going to have in some kind of expenditure limitation for GIS.
I think what we've done is we've removed them out of here, and that they will basically be bought and paid for. It moves lottery funds out, and then the agencies buy the services back. And
you know, we have to account for those as other funds, and they have to have an expenditure limitation. Okay. Where is that going to happen?
Mr. Chair, Senator, so this recommendation simply removes the revenue from the Department of Administration, but it does need the expenditure limitation so they can spend the money once the Natural Resource Agency purchases it. Removing the Oregon Health Plan Policy Research Budget from the House Bill 5002. The chair and the Senate's co-chair, subcommittee chair and the Senate's co-chair have indicated this whole discussion is going to take place in another arena. What you see here is the total governor's recommended budget, both in terms of general funds, other funds, and positions.
So, Mr. Chair, when a decision is made about this office and its funding and the number of staff and so forth, will that be in this budget or will that be in some other budget?
Sure. It will be in DHR's budget, but it will still, this office will still reside in DAF. It's just the appropriation will come through the other budget.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Moving on to number 10, this is the package in the Governor's Natural Resource Office for the salmon plan, pre-FTE, and a reduction of $983,425 general fund, and package 242, the Washington, D.C. office that we've talked about, one FTE and $225,420.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the recommendation is to continue with the idea that these enhancements will not be funded, is that it? That's what we're doing.
The package 241, 242.
Yeah.
At this particular point, based upon some of the information provided yesterday, that probably OEDD, which has been funding a portion of it, would still, as the governor would direct, salmon plan, natural resources, and so forth, it was still contemplated that money would come from somewhere, within those natural resource agencies. So,
so three staff that maybe that are involved here may be funded someplace. Is that what you're saying? They will. There's not a cut in three FTE and with no money for them, but there's money someplace for them. Is that what you're saying?
There won't be within the DAS budget at this particular point, Senator. If under the natural resources they are funded there, or if the governor chooses to work again through the discretionary funds which are available through OEDD, which I understand when we rehear their budget, we'll hear that that amount was more than the $1.5 million that we were told last time, that it was closer to $3.5 million, then that perhaps that discretionary amount will be used in part to fund some of the Washington, D.C. office and the Salmon Plan initiatives for the Willamette Valley and other issues there. That's my understanding.
It sounds a little uncertain. Okay. How about the D.C. office? Are we going to close it? Is that what we're doing?
No.
What are we doing?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we aren't. And, I will work for that, but I think that would be up to Farioli. And in that area, in my country, 80% of the land is owned by the federal government. I think we need a voice in Washington, D.C. So,
there's a leading the FTE. There's a leading the FTE in the money. And so is it safe to say that in some other budget someplace there'll be the money for this office? Or does the office go away with the solution?
I think we heard from Paul Burton and our visitor earlier with Creed McHugh that probably what would happen is once the study is done, there if we can't create some efficiency, the office would probably still be there. Kevin and or others will probably still be there, but maybe funded out of other funds. I didn't hear anyone say that they would go away funding-wise either yesterday or today, but there should be a study done as to where those will come from, and as opposed to being discharged through the gas.
Okay, there's some... Are we going to say that in a budget note, or are we just going to delete these packages?
I at this point, we're just deleting the packages, Senator Troll. Yes, Representative Lewis.
There's still a lot of work to be done by Senator Farioli, and I know he's very capable on all of the natural resource budgets and all of the how the major 66 Oregon Salmon Plan comes together. And I trust our good chair at the other end of the table to work all that out.
I trust him too, but I'd like to see some definite indication that what was going to happen.
I don't trust him. Senator Farioli is recognized and is having been obtained as well.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, until the conversation from Representative Krupp and Representative Laird, I was prepared to defend myself. I felt the warm flush of all this trust perhaps finally received the order. We did hear this budget. We did a courtesy hearing on the a budget of the Natural Resource Office, Governor's Natural Resource Office, which presented to the full Subcommittee for Ways and Means for Natural Resources, which prior to the hearing that we held here. We did talk about measures that would be used in the Measure 66 funding package. One of the things that's been very distressing in this whole process is the shifting definition of what can be used under the definitions of the constitutional definitions of administration and capital project or capital investment. And so that shifted a whole series of budget decisions forward and backward. But I will suggest to you that this is much like the situation we encountered in Health and Human Services, where the AHEC program and the nursing program was out of the OHSU budget for a period of time while we made some decisions about that. And it was put back into the final bill that we heard this morning at Ways and Means. So the fact that this particular area is in the DAS budget rather than in the natural resource sector budget brings that before your committee. It doesn't necessarily mean that decisions won't be made that will fund these positions in other budgets. So just to put that into perspective and to reaffirm what the co-chair is saying.
Thank you very much, Senator Hiller.
Okay. They didn't number right, did they? Oh, I'm sorry. There is no 12.
There's a 12
that's not here. Moving on to miscellaneous. Number 13, this is an amendment of the bill. In the past, the department has handled payment for statewide financial management system expenditures for both IRMD and the state treasurer, or at least for IRMD as revenue transfers. This year, when they put the budget together, they included them in non-limited expenditures. This amendment will ensure that they have appropriate authority in the bill to handle these types of expenditures as non-limited. I apologize for, I don't know what happened. The computer went haywire on me. let me...
That would be Y-299.
let me read into the record exactly what number 16 would say. It's on the document that you have received previously. It says, charges related to operation of the statewide financial management system for processing state warrants and other payments and for computer processing and systems development charges. The top of the section in the bill that number 16 is added to all the paragraph section 16 talks about non-limited expenditures.
Okay.
Number 14, the department has become aware of some money that the federal government is willing to give to Oregon and all states to help inform residents of the state about what has been done to allay their fears about Y2K, what's been done, and to try to avoid a possibility of panic in the citizens. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has made these funds available, and the department is asking for permission to apply for and receive these monies. It's up to $100,000. The department has expenditure limitations, the federal fund expenditure limitations from the current biennium that was unscheduled. They had asked for and received permission to apply for two grants, one in the GIS, Geographic Information Systems arena, and one for video and online services. They at the same time they got permission to apply for those grants, they also got expenditure limitation that was unscheduled pending receipt of those grants. They did not receive the grant, so they still have the expenditure limitation in the current biennium budget. This money is available in the current biennium, 97-99. So they're asking your permission to apply for, receive, and spend this money, however much they get from the federal government, up to $100,000 to help them with their outreach programs and processes to inform the citizens of Y2K and the accomplishments of the state and what they've done with other sectors, financial and utilities, etc. In number 15, the department brought to me a need for 3 FTE and $296,354 of additional other fund expenditure limitation and transportation purchasing and grant services for you. Over the during the current biennium and recently, they have consolidated. Other agencies have consolidated their printing processes into the DAS. They have also moved some equipment and some staff, but the department now finds its management staff is stretched a little thin. That's what this is for. I recommend that you acknowledge that they have brought this to you, but that it's, you know, it came up late in the budget season since they prepared their budget, and so I would recommend that they come back to the emergency board so this can be fully explored. The last item, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, are the attached budget notes. There are several of them. The first one is regarding E-rate funds, and it simply says the Department of Administrative Services will assume a major role in assisting schools and other eligible entities to apply for E-rate funds from the federal government. The state itself cannot get E-rate funds to Western. The second note talked about reporting on various issues to the JLC, IMT, and the Emergency Board. The issues are status of video and online services in the Department's progress in transition from satellite to land-based transmission. The next item is by the end of the biennium, report whether ISO 9001 registration is cost-beneficial. Report the department's progress in deployment of the enterprise network. That's one of the packages that they have in their information resource management solution. And finally, reporting on the status of the year 2000 jet flight date. Status of the January 1, 2000 rollover. Any remaining problems or issues that they see after the new year begins, and the need for continued staffing of the YTK statewide coordination office. The next budget note is regarding the funding of EdNet services. The Department of Administrative Services shall review the source of revenues supporting video and online services, except for services provided to the Oregon University System and other entities under contract. The department shall impose, in accordance with ORIF 283.143.1, a surcharge on long-distance telephone service to cover the remaining cost of providing video and online services. The department shall also propose appropriate legislation to address the surcharge issue in the 2001 pre-biennium. If you remember, in the current biennium, last legislative session, the Assembly passed House Bill 2105 that said the department shall impose the surcharge on telephone systems, and what they testified before the subcommittee is that the surcharge is higher than the cost of providing the service, and they were moving more towards a less subsidizing of services that they provide. That's what this is all about. It keeps them in compliance with the law, but it moves more towards the Department of the Oregon University System paying, has agreed to pay for part of the service. The next budget note is regarding the qualified rehabilitation facility. There's been some discussion about whether or not they all apply, and so this note says that staff shall develop administrative rules requiring all qualified rehabilitation facilities operating under Oregon Revised Statutes 279.835 to 855 that had annual contracts with the Oregon state and local governments in excess of $20,000 to include an attestation statement by the certified public accountant conducting the financial audit, that the QRF facility is currently and was during the period covered by the audit in compliance with ORIF 279.835.4.C. What that is that the people who get the contracts without having to go through a competitive process, they are required to have 75% of their workforce are disabled. And this is an attestation assuring that they comply with that requirement.
At no cost to the state.
During this discussion of the Department of Justice's budget, members of that subcommittee were concerned about the uncontrolled or inappropriate access to legal services, and they requested that this subcommittee insert in the Department of Administrative Services budget a note about a gatekeeper function. That's what this is all about, and the actual note says, to ensure appropriate use of legal services by state agencies, the Department of Administrative Services, working in conjunction with the Department of Justice, will develop and adopt a model policy to manage access to the Department of Justice for access to the Department of Justice for legal services. The Department of Administrative Services will guide state agencies in adopting the model policy or a comparable policy. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the next budget note is the one that was added related to the testimony that Representative Hill gave yesterday, and it says, no later than September 2000, the Department of Administrative Services will report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and the Emergency Board on the feasibility of implementing enterprise resource planning systems or other similar information integration systems and on a plan to improve integration of all the state's accounting and financial reporting systems, budget systems, human resources systems, including the payroll system, so it can provide better management information.
My recommendation. Thank you very much. You've heard the fiscal recommendations and the budget notes. Are there other comments or questions at this time?
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations and budget notes.
It's been moved that we approve the LFO recommendations and budget notes. Senator Troy.
Much I think of what has been done is really okay. I still feel uncomfortable about 9, 10, 11, and not knowing with any kind of definity what's going to happen here, but we're left up in the air about those enhancements. It's not just that those are enhancements, but those are existing operations that the governor was just funding differently. And there are live people in many of these FTEs. And so this budget leaves them in limbo. And if we would explain what we intended in the budget about them, that would be one thing. But since we're not, I think I'll vote no.
Thank you, Senator. So, other comments? Representative Hanson.
I'll be voting no also, and that's not a reflection on the amount of work certainly the staff has done on this budget. I think some very excellent work that's been done here. Certainly a great deal of effort on behalf of the chair. But I don't want this vote to be an indication that this is a consensus budget. Certainly the macro decision of the 4% cuts, three of us haven't been involved in that decision. The micro decisions that are all the way through here aren't the basis of consensus building within the committee. We spent more time on a budget note on the Capital Commission budget than we did on probably the discussion of the $7 million for the cuts here. So reluctantly, I'll be voting no because more in reflection upon the process than on the actual budget decisions that are here.
Thank you, Representative Hanson. Other comments?
Mr. Chair, I would comment. We've worked very hard with the Department of Administrative Services, and I want to thank Teresa and Mr. Yunker and all of the IRMD people who worked with on this, which was a large group of people. And frankly, I thank them very much for their support in our efforts to attempt to find general fund savings that can be used to get to a higher K-12 number, and I'm very thankful this agency has really stepped up to the plate and been a big help to us. And I think the subcommittees have known all along that has been the whole intent behind the 4% reductions. We have talked about it in fall. I know it's been discussed in the sub. And I thank the Department of Administrative Services for just been great to work with. And our analyst, Georgine, has done an excellent job. As for the packages that Senator Cho is concerned about, I assure you, Arnie State's office will exist. It just is going to be discussed in context with the entire Oregon Health Plan, and it's a human resource issue, and that's frankly where it belongs. The salmon plant issues, those are being addressed by our, as I said before, our very capable subcommittee chair, Senator Perioli, and I have every confidence in him, and that's a very tough thing to put together all the pieces in Measure 66, and he's worked long and hard on it all session long. So while I understand the concerns that have been raised here, I think it's an excellent budget. We've had good cooperation from our substantive committee chairs with regard to technology, Representative Hill and Senator Nelson, and I'm very happy to vote for this budget, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. It's been moved that we approve the House Bill 502 and the recommendations from Legislative Fiscal Office. Well, let's go ahead and take a roll. Let's do a roll call.
Tro?
No.
Hi.
Nice.
Next,
Leonard?
No.
Yes. For the record, we'll go ahead then with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 5002 to the full Ways and Means, and he is so ordered. And let's see. Would you like to agree? Okay. Senator Ferrioli would like to carry it to the full Ways and Means. I don't like to carry this one to the House, and you can carry it to the Senate if you would, please, Senator Ferrioli. Thank you very much. With that, again, I express my gratitude to all of those who have participated in the rather extensive discussions, and particularly those who aren't or can't be here because they're out doing important things, and to Mr. Juncker and his entire staff, we thank you very much.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just make the point, I've worked with Tom for a long time, and I tell you, they were the best that we dealt with, and these cuts didn't come from us, they came from them. Which to me means a lot. That's what this is all about, working together and making cuts in state government. And you were very, very receptive. Plus the technology part of this really amazing the time that we spent on it and the fact of how much we've got to do in regards to it. And it's been a very interesting experience for me to be involved in it with the cooperation of the people that are in government.
It has indeed been very informative. We thank you for your participation in the comments.
Sure.
Senator Cole.
I'd like to thank the co-chairs for coming to the subcommittee and giving us the benefit of their negotiations, since they didn't take place in front of us where we knew what was happening. Much of what happened to us was a surprise when we got to the LFO recommendations. We didn't know anything about a whole lot of this stuff. And it would be nice if somehow or other we would be privy to it before we're faced with voting on it. Also, I think the agency, some of the things they were a little surprised about as well. Once we began to discuss them, I think we were able to flesh some things out and maybe we have a better understanding. But clearly, there's still a lot of stuff that's up in the air in this budget that still needs to be worked out. Anyway, it's very good to have both co-chairs voting on our budget at the subcommittee level.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, yeah, it is nice to be here. But, you know, the point is in this process that you can work it and you can work it and anybody that can help you, and that's where I figure we are. We're here to help. These people were in front of you for how long? How long, Mr. Chair, did you have?
Several weeks.
Right. So the opportunity was there to question and do anything you wanted to do. I think we were with them probably 4 hours in the process. So you had an advantage over us by a long way in regards to it. So I don't think we've taken anything away from you. I think you had the opportunity, as all of us do.
And I think it slowed the process down so we could have a discussion of these things, and the chair was gracious to allow us to do that. But we weren't about to come in here and see a whole lot of things that we really hadn't talked about. Maybe these things were intended, but yes, we had a first presentation of what's in the budget, but we didn't know these things were going to be cut or how they were going to be cut. We knew there was something about 4%, so we weren't surprised to see the 4%. So when we saw other cuts, we were surprised, and there's been no discussion of
it.
We weren't quite sure what was happening, and neither were they.
Again, we thank you very much. We'll go ahead and close our subcommittee.